made some moves out there. So go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 3. Cool. One of the last books in the Bible. Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you this morning, Lord, with thanksgiving, with praise, with honor, Lord. We come before your throne, Lord, as wretched sinners, not deserving of life, not deserving of heaven, not deserving of mercy, not deserving of grace, and not deserving of you or your love or anything else that we may have, God. But we are truly thankful and honored that you give us the ability to have those things, to be called children, to call you Father, to have new life, eternal life, to have hopes of heaven and have the hope in you that you bring. God, I just pray, Lord, that you just speak in our hearts today, God, as we dive into your word. Lord, pray that the work that you've done in our lives and have been doing in our lives would just go beyond us and go into the rest of the darkened, corrupted, crazy world, Lord, that the world may completely and one day glorify you. Lord, I thank you for who you are and what you're doing, Lord. You're so amazing. Loving to thank you. Amen. Cool. So, I was wondering, how many of you guys ever get tired of hearing the same old things over and over? How many do you guys get tired of hearing the same things over and over? Yeah. No? No?
I love eating.
You love eating?
Yeah. It's something I do over and over.
But hearing. We all do. And I know that sometimes that if we hear something over and over again, we get bored with it. We get bored with it. We get so sick of it. We never want to hear it, never want to do it, never want to think it again. Songs are a good example of that, especially if you just listen to the radio. You hear the same five songs over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And pretty much before you know it, you don't ever want to hear the song again. You hear the song coming on, and you immediately like turn off your radio, or you rip it out of your car, and you throw it out of the street. No, not that drastic, but you get my point. You just don't ever want to hear it again. Now, sometimes hearing stuff over and over again is a good thing, right? Yeah. For example, when you need to memorize stuff for school, when you need to memorize things, it's a good way to memorize it is by saying it over and over, writing it down over and over. But it could also be stressful, yeah? And one example of that is my parents always just get mad and angry at each other because they would always tell me to do something and be like, yeah, in a little bit, yeah, in a little bit. Before you know it, we're both angry, both mad, and it's just corruption in the house. Yeah. So it could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. Well, here's a question for you guys. Do you guys act the same way when you hear scriptures so many times that it loses its meaning and its power in your lives? Now think about it. Have you ever gotten bored with the verse? You could just say it without even like really having to try to say it. You know what I'm talking about? And well, that shouldn't be the case. But sad to say, that happens, and it's true. It happens a lot. And yes, we are called as Christians to hide the scriptures in our heart, but not only hide them in our heart and know them in our mind, but also love them. You know, if that's the case, if you've been bored with the scripture lately, if you've been bored with a book in the Bible, if you've been bored with anything in the Bible or anything with God, re-examine that. Spend some time on your face and spend some time re-examining that scripture, re-examining that book of the Bible. And let the meaning and the joy and the love of that verse come back into your life. That's why I've entitled this message, Rejoice, for who he is and what we are. So let's go ahead and dig into 1 John chapter 3. And we'll see what I'm talking about. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we should be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Excuse me. So, verse 1 brings me to my first point. Rejoice for God's love towards everyone. Now, when I was studying for this, I had so much notes on verse 1, I thought I wouldn't get into verse 2 or 3. So hopefully that I am able to do that. I shortened my notes on verse 1. But verse 1 took me into this whole concept, this whole thought of what John is saying here. Listen to the words that John speaks here as he's writing to the Christians. Behold, in other words, look, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. So John here is in pure amazement. This dude's blown away. He's like, oh, he's just happy. He's more happy than Frank says I am. How I always have a smile on my face. I assume, and I think, and I picture John here just writing this with such joy and such love in his heart as he's writing this to the Christians during this time. And he's in such amazement of the love that the Father has for us. Even more so that we are called children of God. Think about that. And we call Him Father. What? I'm surprised my parents call me children for all the things I've done. Honestly, here I am, this wretched, sinful man. I'm not deserving of anything. I'm not even deserving of breath. And yet, God willingly and lovingly calls me His child, calls me friend, has adopted me into His family. Now, just as John is in pure amazement, we should be in constant amazement of the love that the Father has for us. We shouldn't get bored with Scripture, especially one of the most famous ones. What do you guys exactly? John 3:16. I didn't even have to mention it. You know it. And how's it go? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Exactly. What's verse 17? Verse 17? For God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Beautiful words in those two verses, yeah? Aren't these verses so amazing and so awesome and so powerful? Think about it. Think about this, guys. God, this perfect, Spirit becomes flesh, becomes human, becomes in the form of man. As Chris has sang that song, Beautiful to Me, the first verse that says, tell me, Lord, how did it feel when they nailed you down that day? Pretty much know that it was painful. But there's some joy behind that because He knew He was taking away the sins of the world. But think about this. How did it feel, Lord? Tell me, Lord, how did it feel when He chose to come into this world? How hurt and how bothered were you when you had to say, all right, I got to go down there in human flesh? But He said it in a loving way. Think about that. How did God feel when He says, I got to go down there in human flesh. I got to die. I got to be like them. I got to die like them so I could take away the sins of the world. I got to defeat their death I got to show them who I am and that I'm real. Think about that. Now, keep in mind, God didn't have to come into this world. And it's pretty sad to think that God was looking, looks upon us and says, man, they're choosing material possessions over me. They're choosing to live longer instead of choosing to live with me. They're choosing all these other things instead of choosing me. God didn't have to come down in this world. But He, God, loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son to come down to this world to die for us, to die for you, to die for me, to die for everyone in this world, the 6.5 billion people in this world, and the people that live before us and the people that will live after us, if the rapture and He doesn't come before that happens, the people that will live after us, hopefully people will live after us if Jesus doesn't come again. Okay. The rapture. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, we shouldn't perish. We shouldn't inherit hell or die. But we'll have everlasting life in heaven with Him. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. Now, I was listening to this pastor, this amazing pastor. His name is Francis Chan. He's from Simi Valley, California. Francis Chan. He's a Chinese pastor. This guy's amazing. I was listening to his Christmas Eve service, his Christmas service. And he was talking that some missionaries who had been training at his church for a while went to New Guinea. They're there, and finally, they were finally able to give the good news, the gospel message. After 2.5 years, these people translated the New Testament and gave these people who have never heard the word God, who have never heard about God, who have never heard about Jesus, they finally heard about Jesus and God's love for them. And it was just so awesome. And this guy, Francis Chan, was just hitting John 3:16. As his Christmas service teaching. He also wanted to say on that a few years before this happened, some missionaries in a different village of New Guinea were out there. They learned the culture, they learned the language, they translated the New Testament. They're talking about the Bible from the beginning of creation, and then finally, these particular missionaries told this tribe in New Guinea, John 3:16. Now, he was playing a video, and all I have is the audio iPod. But you could hear it as the guys are translating back and forth from one language to another. You'd hear the excitement and joy in this one guy's life. And at the end, he says, "It is good. It is good." He shouts this. I don't want to shout it because, yeah. But no, he just shouts, "It is good." But this is what blew me away, and it just broke me. I literally started crying. Because I was convicted on the fact that I sometimes get bored with John 3:16, that it's lost its meaning in my life. But when they heard that it is good, that this message was good, they rejoiced with such a great and exceedingly amazing excitement and shouting and praise and just yelling and just creating this beautiful sound. I have it on my laptop over there. I can play it for you guys after. They did this for 2.5 hours straight. And it sounds like you go to a basketball game, 18,000 people packed in, and they're the place is just going crazy. It sounded like that. And there wasn't even nearly 18,000 people there. And they did this for 2.5 hours straight from just hearing John 3:16. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? It just got me so pumped, and it broke me, and I literally started crying. And because how often do we hear John 3:16 and we rejoice? How often do we wake up in the morning rejoicing and praising God for our life? How often do we rejoice at the fact that we are sinners saved by grace and inheriting heaven? This brings my second point. Rejoice. We are children of God, and we will be like Him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Woo-hoo! Yeah! Isn't that awesome? Read that verse again. Think about it. Beloved, now, this moment, we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He, Jesus, is revealed, the second coming, we shall be like Him. We're going to be like Jesus? What? Yes!
Awesome. Yes!
Dude! I can't wait. Yes.
And He is pure. And you know, wouldn't it be great to live one day without being tempted by your flesh?
Or your eyes or pride?
I mean, that's a woo.
Think about that.
No more sinful nature.
No more crying. No more pain. No more suffering. We're going to be like Him? What? We're going to be... Oh my gosh, we're going to be like Jesus. That should blow you away. That honestly should blow you away. We're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be having this sinless nature, this uncorruptible body, this uncorruptible nature. Right now we have this corruptible, sinful nature that we inherited from our parents, who inherited from their parents, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. But one day, hopefully a lot sooner than later, we won't have that anymore. We won't have the pains of life. We won't have crying, tears, sorrow. It's going to be awesome. Yes. Yes. Oh, what a... Yes. We're going to be perfect. Oh, man. Think about that. Holy God calls us His children. Even though we are natural heirs to sin, to disobedience, to guilt, to destruction, to corruption, we deserve death. We deserve hell. We don't deserve anything, especially grace and mercy and forgiveness and the love that He has upon us. But now, we are blessed, we are privileged, and we are honored that we are children of God. And the only way to become a child of God is upon the cross. Is upon the moment of salvation. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? That God is not ashamed to call a sinner, or billions for that matter, children, to call us friends. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. I'm sure if you were to ask my parents, at some of the stuff I did, they wouldn't want to call me their child. But they do.
You know, the other day I heard the chief.
That what? Yes. Okay. And we're able, and he gives us the ability to call him Father and friend. We can call him 24/7, 365 days a year. We're not going to be put on hold when we want to talk to him. He's not going to be too busy for us. But as you talk to your friends, as you hang out, you can hang out with God. You know, it's funny. Think about this. The church is the bride of Christ, right? How often have you gone on a date with God? When it's just you and God, no one else, and like, hey God, let's go on a date. Let's go take a stroll. Let's go take a bike ride. Just me, you, nothing else, no iPod, no cell phone. Just me, you, no TV, no radio, no distractions. Just me and you, one-on-one. We're engaged to him if we're a child of God. For we're the bride, but yet the husband has not yet come. So we're engaged. Have you guys gone on a date? Honestly, I haven't gone on a date in a while. But I love having my quiet times with him. I love just working and praying and just talking to him.
May I make a little practical suggestion? Is keep a journal.
Keep a journal.
It could be a journal on prayers and conversations that you have with him, thoughts and impressions. You're reading your word, you know, write it down. You know, what Adam was talking about, you know, and it's like, for me, it's been a long, long time where you just break away and be with the Lord. And some of the sweetest times of my walk has been where you just hang out with God, just you and him, and it's sweet.
It's amazing. Oh,
especially
cool.
If you like to write and journal.
Yes.
Man, just
go off. Write on your computer.
Oh, yeah. I used to do that all the time. See my file.
Yep. So what honor and privilege and blessing is it to call the God of all creation, the God of God, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, Father? Isn't that awesome? Such an honor. We get pretty pumped up, and we get super excited when we get to see a movie star, when we get to see the president. It's a big deal. It's whatnot. We should be much more excited to see God than the movie star, than the musician, than the president. Ah, it's just the president. Hey, it's God! Hey, everybody, it's God. That's how we should be. You know? Oh, the president's coming down. Hey, great. My gas tank prices are going higher now. Yeah. It's like, hey, there's God. Hey, guys, God's coming back. Here, he's coming soon. Watch out, wait. He's coming. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Hey, Mr. President. No, it should be the other way around. We should be excited and waiting for the arrival of God. We should be waiting and excited for Jesus' return. Oh, gosh. Okay, so mark this down if you have notes. Philippians 3:21. It says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So our bodies will be transformed into his glorious body. Thus no more sin, no more curse. And we know that we'll see him face to face and be his servants. As it says in Revelation 21, it's an amazing chapter. Read it. Also dig into Romans 8, chapter 15. But let's bring my third point. Rejoice and purify yourself. Go with me to verse 3 of chapter 3. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies him. Wait. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Okay. We do not automatically become pure upon salvation. Upon the moment when we are sanctified. When we give up and we're justified. Okay? When we repent, when we become children of God, when we confess that we're sinners in need of a Savior, that doesn't make us pure completely. It makes us purer. If you look up the word sanctified, it means to be set apart or to be made holy. We will be made holy when we go to heaven. But we are to make every effort possible to become more pure today than we were yesterday. You know, God will take away the things of the old and bring in things anew. But you have to be wanting that as well. We should make our lives resemble Christ's life so that when people see us, they see God. And I can't think about how many times someone has just come up to me and be like, "How are you so happy? You just got chewed out." Like, "It's strange. I've never seen you mad." I'm like, "You've seen me mad. I've just been smiling. I've been happy." Like, "How is that? How is it that you could be mad and be smiling? There's no need. I got Christ." It just blows them away. And then I could go into a testimony from there. I could go into a witness from there. How awesome is that? That people, when they see you, see God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So things that have from the past will go away. Just like your tricycle went away, just like your big wheel went away, just like your Tonka trunk went away, all things will become new. Now, instead of Tonka trunk, I'm rolling a nice car. No, not really. It's pretty ghetto. I miss my Tonka trunk. Man. No? I destroyed mine. I got the hammer and I was beating it. Yeah. But all things will pass away. That's just life. I believe it was Albert Einstein who said, "Change is life and growth is optional." Amazing words. I would sit on those words and I would just spend hours just trying to think about it. And I finally grasped it. Change is life. Do you want to grow though? So, people, the reason I say that, strive so that people, when they see you, they see God, is because people will know that you're a Christian by what you do, by the fruits of your work. You can say, "I'm a Christian, I go to church, I know all the lingo, I know some worship songs, but I do this all the day. Every single day I do this." And you don't care about how you present yourself in front of other people. They're like, "Oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. I would have never guessed. You're over there doing drugs. You're over there drinking all the time. You're over there getting different girls and guys' numbers and all this other things." That's just an example. But people will know that you're Christians by the way you live. James 2:17 says it best. "Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So if you have faith but no works, your faith is dead. Let your works be evident. Show the love of Christ, and everywhere you go. I just want to close with this last verse. Actually, one more thing to touch on. This purity of a clean heart and a pure mind is vital, and it's crucial for your lives, and it's crucial for your walk. Whatever comes from the mind goes to the heart, whatever, and then eventually comes out of the mouth. But we know that the heart and the mind work together. So we must strive and desire to keep them pure. We do this by putting clean things in our minds and our hearts. And pretty soon enough, your life will become more pure each and every day. I want to close with this verse, Ephesians 4, verse 14 through 15. Listen to what Paul says, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth of love that may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So let us not remain babies, but let us become adults in Christ. Let us become mature. Sad to say, but there's Christians who are old in the faith who are still babies. And here I am, which would be considered a baby, a little over 2 years old, and I'm more mature than some Christians who have been Christians 20 plus years. And it's sad to say that. It bothers me that I say that. But that's the truth. So grow, desire, be fed daily. Here's the food. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. We just thank you for your words. What with such joy, God. Let us just rejoice in our day and our week, Lord. And let us rejoice in you. And then let us re-examine John 3:16 and 17. And let us just spark such a joy in our life that we just rejoice with great exceedingly excitement. God, let us just be in the pure awe of you, God. Let us be so blown away by the love that you have for us, that the things that you do for us, that would be on our focus, that would be on the center of our lives, that we would rejoice with because of who you are and what you do and what you have done and what you continue to do. God, let us rejoice 24/7. For we are to give thanks for everything, God. Even the worst situations that we're in, to the best situations. Let us rejoice, God. Lord, we thank you for these words. And how great of a desire it is just to see you return, to see you come to this earth, to see you face to face, to see you how you are, and to be like you, oh God. Gets the fire going and adds so much fuel to the fire, God. And I pray that just thinking about that would add even more fuel each and every single time, God. God, guide us and direct us as we step out of these doors into this darkened world, God. We pray that we would be a light, bright, shining light in this darkened, corrupted, crazy, evil world, Lord. Let us be used by you, for we are available. God, we love you and we thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. Cool. You guys have a good day. God bless. If you guys want prayer.